CBSI in the world. I'm John Batchelor with Colonel Jeff McCausin, CBS News, my colleague and guide on the preparations for a Russian offensive in Ukraine. But now we go to preparations for a possible Chinese offensive in East Asia. Taiwan is the target, but really all of East Asia would be involved in any conflict at that scale. Jeff, in these last days, Jens Stoltenberg, the Secretary General of NATO, has traveled to the Korean Peninsula, having conversations with the Yoon government, the new government in Seoul, about the nuclear umbrella, about the threat of North Korea, which NATO regards as a tool of Beijing, and also about South Korea participating in some fashion, perhaps by weapons, perhaps financial support, in Ukraine conflict. At the same time, the Secretary of Defense, Mr. Austin, traveling to the Philippines to talk to the Marcos government about two islands, the Luzon Island, the main island in the north, and Palawan, which is a long, thin strip of land that is on the South China Sea, a conflict zone. It appears we're preparing for a war in Asia. Is that too presumptive, Jeff?
Hopefully that's too presumptive, but it certainly seems to be a possibility. Of course, we had the head of the Air Mobility Command, General Minahan, write a memo that was publicly released to all his 100+ thousand soldiers and employees that he predicted a war with China would occur in 2025. So there's a grave concern about this. Obviously, from the Pentagon, from the White House, State Department position, this is designed to position military forces and alliances that would deter future aggression by the Chinese in the South China Sea, in the Straits, the Taiwan Straits, as well as against Taiwan itself. And, you know, John, if you look at this, of course, the Philippines, the northern portion of the Philippines is only 200 miles from the southern coastline of Taiwan. And I think then you go north to Okinawa, which is a Japanese island with a large U.S. Marine presence. Then you're 200 miles from the northern shores of Taiwan. At the same time, the United States has called for reorganization of our Marine forces to make them lighter and more mobile in Okinawa, and a return to the Pacific in the Philippines in particular, where during the Cold War, of course, we had very large U.S. military bases at Subic Bay for the Navy and Clark Field for the Air Force. It will be interesting to see how the Chinese react to this. And I'm reminded, John, we talked off air about back in April of 1940, Franklin Roosevelt will order the U.S. Pacific Fleet to move from its permanent station in San Diego to take up permanent position and headquarters in Honolulu and Pearl Harbor. He did that to deter Japanese aggression, as he wanted to focus on the war in Europe that was ongoing and fears the United States would enter that conflict. From the Japanese perspective, after the war, they found that was the final act. That made war between the United States and Japan inevitable. So as we make these moves to try to deter Chinese aggression, it will be hopeful that's what will occur. But war could be a distinct possibility. And we also know, while Secretary Austin has been in the Philippines, Secretary Blinken is heading for China for very, very interesting conversations upcoming with his counterpart about these diplomatic and military moves in the Pacific.
I look at the map, Jeff. We have the prime minister in Tokyo doubling the defense budget and rearming Japan. We've talked of the Philippines and the possible naval basing, air basing, army basing, marine basing in the Philippines and the South China Sea. Seoul is another piece of the puzzle. But then we go south, Australia and the AUKUS agreement. I'm told that they're looking to buy two Virginia-class attack submarines from the U.S. in the gap between when they commit to AUKUS and when they're producing their own nuclear submarines. And then we head into the Indo-Pacific, and India is part of this story, although it's unclear to me what part. It appears that China is surrounded. Now, you're an historian of the Second War, Jeff. Very careful. Is surrounding provocative, or is it what you do to blunt the military option out of the hostile power?
Well, the answer is yes and yes. And it's sort of, you know, beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. But you're quite right. If you're Chinese, every once in a while, strategically, I always say to people, you need to go to the other side of the chessboard and look at the board from the perspective of your potential adversary. And if you're Chinese, of course, you look at Korea, close American ally with military forces right there, very close to your border. They describe Japan as the world's largest aircraft carrier in many ways. And if the Japanese should reach 2% of GDP, which their prime minister says they will, This would raise Japanese defense spending to about $120 billion per year, which would put them third on the globe in terms of military spending, only behind the United States and China. And then, of course, you come down to the Philippines. And as you rightfully point out, the AUKUS agreement between the United States, UK, and the Australians for nuclear submarines and U.S. military presence in Australia, and then the growing importance of the Quad, and that involves the Indians as well. And there's still longstanding conflicts, as we know, between India and China, and we've seen skirmishes break out on the no-fire line between those two countries in the Himalayas, where they fought, by the way, a territorial war back in 1962, which territorially for the Indians has never been resolved, and there's still a Panman John-like negotiation going nowhere between the Indian military and the Chinese military trying to debark where the actual borderline is in the Himalayas between China and India.
I want to come back to Jens Stoltenberg in Seoul. Invited, not in any fashion presumptive. NATO in Asia, does that make sense transnationally, Jeff, or does Asia need a new organization?
Well, NATO has got Asia's got these multiple organizations. We just talked about AUKUS, ASEAN, of course, which is largely political and economic, the Quad, and U.S. bilateral relations, very close bilateral relations, particularly with Japan and Korea. It was interesting at the last NATO summit, of course, for the first time, the foreign minister of Japan and the foreign minister of South Korea attended as observers. But of course, these two countries are not members of NATO, and I can't imagine they ever would become members of NATO. It's difficult right now because of the need for consensus to get Sweden and Finland their final approval to join NATO, as we vote primarily for the Turks to decide that. But closer cooperation seems to be certainly the case as NATO takes on, as it has, a larger global role. But I think primarily what Mr. Stoltenberg is trying to do is trying to expand the alliance of nations willing to support the Ukraine. A lot of military hardware, particularly ammunition, we're back to ammunition, 155 ammo, tank ammo, et cetera. The Koreans produce. There's a lot of U.S. stuff positioned there. And the Koreans would have to acquiesce to a large diversion of U.S. military supplies, which might concern them if it was moved from Korea to Ukraine, or providing military assistance directly to Ukraine. They make some pretty nice, actually, light tanks. And then finally, of course, Mr. Stoltenberg also is interested in those countries willing to provide, as you suggest, John, economic support to Ukraine so their economy does not collapse, humanitarian support, and last but not least, the rebuilding of Ukraine, which still Europeans are already beginning to think about, which will hopefully happen someday, sooner rather than later.
And Jeff, with the 30 seconds, this February 24th, you've said that the Russians like ceremonies. I agree. Is there a reason to believe that we're preparing for something bad to happen that day? Do you see it, Jeff? 30 seconds.
Yeah, I fear I would be prepared. I would prepare for the worst and then be happy if it doesn't happen. It would seem to me very likely the Russians would conduct at least a major missile assault on Ukrainian cities on that particular day. And they might use that day to formally announce this offensive is underway against Ukraine.
Colonel Jeff McCausland, United States Army, retired, an artilleryman. He is also CBS News. He is also a visiting professor at Dickinson College and Diamond Six Leadership and Strategy, the CEO. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Unlike other health concerns, mental illness is not always easy to see. Depression won't show up on an eye chart, and you can't measure it on your bathroom scale. Sorting out a mental health concern is not something to attempt on your own. You won't find a bipolar disorder by looking at a thermometer. Like many other health conditions, help for mental illness takes professional diagnosis and treatment. Anxiety won't just go away under a stick-on bandage. So the sooner you seek treatment, the better. If you or a loved one has a mental health concern, don't go it alone. Find out what to do. For 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP. Learn more at samhsa.gov/support. That's samhsa.gov/support.